killing and adultery break out, bloodshed follows bloodshed. Sin always leads to judgment. Our planet is not warming up. Our climate is not changing across the globe because we have lived righteously in a right relationship with each other and in a right relationship with our planet. We've exploited our planet and often exploited the people we have employed to exploit it. Think of those miners in Africa, many of whom have lost their lives seeking to extract rare minerals that help us to have a cell phone each here in New Zealand. We have exploited our planet and often exploited the people we have employed to exploit it. We have sought to maximise profit from the land, sea and sky and to minimise care of creation. We have thought less of sustainable living than we have of comfortable living. If we're honest in terms of this fifth mark of mission, we have not striven to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. It's great that we're really open today to doing this, and we must work from now and into the future and keep doing it. But a bit of honest reflection would say that en masse, we, especially in the West, have not always done this. So a question before us, as Hosea was posing to the people of Israel all those centuries ago, the question before us is whether we will change, turn around and live differently, or more simply, repent and do what we have not done and undo what we have done. Now again, a moment of honesty. This is not an easy question for most of us to answer. We live in a combustion engine dependent society. Even if I have, which I don't have, but if I had an electric car, for example, most of New Zealanders drive in combustion engine cars. I am still part of that wider society. And of course, there are trucks and other machines and so forth. We're solving housing shortages by building townhouses with no space to grow our own vegetables and fruit trees. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because we want to solve the housing crisis, and we need to do that by building many more houses, and we will do that by building many more smaller houses more intensively on land available to us in New Zealand. And yet, wasn't it a great part of a former generation of life when people didn't need trucks to transport vegetables to the supermarkets to buy them because we all grew them in our own backyard? You ever see photos of Christchurch back in, say, the 1920s? I remember seeing one. It's of houses and streets that have few houses today, Cashel Street and Hereford Street, roughly from the park down to the cathedral. And they're all long, narrow sections. And you can make out in the photo that the whole of the front yard and the whole of the backyard was full of vegetables and fruit trees and all of that. We earn livings in New Zealand through agriculture, which leaches nitrogen into our water sources, and through tourism, where basically 99.9% of tourists fly by plane to get here and don't come by wind-driven yachts. And not far away in Australia, our nearest and dearest neighbour, they earn tremendous livings through digging up ore and coal and so forth. None of us here in this part of the world want to become impoverished by ceasing to farm and over there ceasing to mine. A moment of honesty. Let's not be afraid to be honest with ourselves. The question of how we might strive to care for creation is not an easy question to answer for most of us. What are we to do? Because I believe fervently that we should do something rather than nothing. We should do something rather than give up because it's a hopeless cause. Can we remember here in Christchurch the huge changes that have happened in the lifetimes of those of us who did grow up here? Remember when we had coal and wood-fired fires and all that smoke that came out of the chimney of every house in Christchurch? And I remember it vividly. It would come out the chimney on a still, clear winter night, and it would go down the side of the chimney, down the side of the house, and out onto the street where you'd have to put your fog lights on if you had them in your car to make your way home from something at night. We have done something, And we should remember that we can do things, we can make changes, as we've made here in Christchurch. What are we to do? Now, one answer to that question is to set a list of impossible things to achieve quickly, and they can't be done, least of all by myself. What are we to do? I want to put some things to you which I hope you can hear as somewhat doable. First of all, we should do what we can do, whatever that is, to exploit the earth less, to reduce pollution of our skies, our soil, our waterways. And the good news is, and we should encourage ourselves, most of us are doing things. We're putting our things in the yellow recycling bin and other things in the green recycling bin. And when it's announced during this past week that some things can no longer go in the green recycling bin, we're going to obey those instructions. We may be able to cycle or bus rather than car travel. We can keep working on power usage reduction and so forth. And don't some of those new LED light bulbs last a lot longer than the old style ones too? It's not all bad news about trying to live better in the planet. We should join our voices to press our civic, national, and farming leaders to strive to find new ways to earn a living for our nation, ways that exploit God's creation less. Everything is possible when a nation is united in its determination to win whatever battle it faces. To a degree, we should look on climate change and doing something about it as the actual World War III. Some people say World War III is already underway, you know, it's been underway for some years, etc. Actually, what if we thought of World War III as the battle to save the planet? What did we do in World War I and World War II? We united in a war effort to win those wars. We sent people to fight actual battles. Back here, we went on ration card systems. We did our bit and all of that. We need to see ourselves as part of a collective will to win this particular war. It's not all about which party currently is in government. It's not all about what farming method is currently underway in our land and so forth. It's about what we might do if we work our way towards a change together. Thirdly, we should encourage one another to do better and not guilt trip each other for whatever shortfalls we've had to date. The past is the past. Today is the beginning of tomorrow's new world. We need willing hands and hearts to change the world, not people angry and resentful living according to more and more rules and restrictions. Joyfully throw your tea bags in the red bin and no longer in the green bin, but do it with a willing hand and a willing heart. And of course, there are way more significant things we can potentially be doing than what we do with our tea bags. In conclusion, as we reflect on what it might mean to serve Christ by caring for Christ's creation better, let's embrace the challenge of this fifth mark of mission, the challenge to treasure God's creation and not to trash it, to care for it, to sustain it, and to renew it. And let's do it together as a people of God, united in our love for the God in Christ who created and gifted this marvelous world in which we live. Let's pray. Gracious God, for the strength and the wisdom to know what to do and to do something to better serve you in this world, so that your world, the world you created, the world you loved enough to die on the cross for, might indeed be a much treasured world. Give us that strength and wisdom, we pray, and give us an ability to work together as one people of God in this great battle. Amen.